Welcome back to Spiritual Sense Podcast. I'm Michael McIntosh and I'm joined by the one and only Sister Shireen. How are you doing, Shireen?
Hello, Michael.
Yay. So today we're diving into how to end mental suffering, how to stop hurting ourselves in our mind and create joy, how to have a mind full of joy and happiness and well-being. So how do we go from the prison internally to an expanded state of inner joy, peace, love, freedom, so that whatever's going on around us, we have a beautiful inner world to enjoy. So that's what we're diving into today. Yay. So what is it like, Shireen, to have a happy inner world? Let's just describe that state for us all.
Resilience. I would think resilience. Your mind is very resilient. That is, you know, like a rubber band, a nice, healthy rubber band. You stretch it and it comes back to its original form. In the same way, the situations in the world, people around us, everything, right? Our ups and downs, moods, everything, they will stretch the mind. But we have to be resilient enough to come back to our original state. So resilience, I think. That's what a mind that is resilient would be, a happy mind.
Yeah, because it's not getting flustered by every little thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because things will happen, right?
Things are going to happen.
In life, things don't happen.
Yeah, everything's going to happen. And even if we have a nice controlled environment and everything's the way we like it, it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. You still can get triggered by text messages and whatever else. Like, there's no way you can run and hide. And if you do try and go to the Himalayas and run away from everything, you're going to be cold. So, and you won't be happy. You won't be happy.
Because you won't have your iPhone there.
Nothing works. You can't get what you want because it's in the middle of nowhere. So that doesn't solve it either. So what we want is to have an internal world, our mind, our feelings, our visualization, the thoughts, the energy internally that is enjoyable, so we can close our eyes and feel good, we can open our eyes and feel good, we can wander around our life and enjoy ourselves. That is what we are designed for. And nowadays, what's happened to us all, over time we can lose our energy and we end up in a mental prison, where we're hurting ourselves with our thoughts. So in order to get rid of that, let's first of all discuss, what is that? What is a mental prison? What is that negative state? What do you think it is, Shireen? Like, how would you describe the state of mind that is hurting itself?
There's certain thought patterns that we are thinking again and again, and we are putting ourselves in that prison, right? It's not, of course, a physical prison, but there's a pattern of thinking that's going on, and we need to identify that pattern of thinking that's putting us in that prison.
So certain repetitive thoughts.
I'll tell you what's happening. For example, let's say you come home and your husband or your wife, let's take husbands because they are...
Husbands are just the worst, aren't they? Just the worst.
They tend to this. I have no idea, really. But anyway, they tend to do this. That's what wives tell me. And I'm sure wives do a lot of things. The husbands just don't say anything. But anyway, the wives tell me... Far too humble. Oh, my God. They're the best ever, right?
They're the best.
Anyway.
Hooray for the husbands.
So they leave their socks everywhere.
Oh, their socks. They just throw everything all over the place.
Everything is a mess, yeah, right?
Right.
Okay. So that is a situation. Now you walk in from a very long day of work.
The husband's just tossed everything all over the house. And it's just things hanging off.
Tossed everything all over the house. And you walk into that, right? Now, that's a trigger. And that trigger has triggered a thought pattern. the thought pattern is, oh my God, not again. How many times do I have to say this and do this? Why do they do this? You know, and then you'll think of all the other defects and whatever that person did, ever did, you know, blah, 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 blah. And your mind just goes on and on because there's a pattern of thinking that you are reacting to. And that pattern of thinking, which is your reaction to things, that is the prison, and that is what is giving you sorrow. It could be anything. I'm just giving could an example anything. Of yeah, husbands exactly. because they're easy targets, but
but it happens in so many ways. Like you walk into some place and you see someone, and I remember talking to someone and like that she had a problem with someone else where she was going to work, and every time she walked in the door she would see this person because she was working on reception, and it just put her in this state, and she was super stressed out about it because it triggers something that causes this whole thing. And it could be while you're driving. Yeah.
So there are 10 drivers on the road, and all 10 of them except you are driving horribly. And then you start thinking, oh, these people, right? Like there's a pattern of thinking that starts.
Yeah. So there's all sorts of things, right? So we have to separate this out, right? One is, let's say with the husband, right? It's quite possible that there needs to be a conversation to change the behavior, possibly.
No, like but this is the 100th time they've had a conversation and it doesn't change their behavior, he's still got
his socks hanging off the door, edge of the door again for the 50 millionth time, and she's just pulling her hair out. So that's it. Grounds for divorce, we're done, right? But
and that's one option.
That's one option. So normally in situations, there's the physical side of it, which we may or may not need to do anything about. Sometimes there's no point doing anything at all, a lot of the time. And then there's our internal reaction to what happened, right? So what would you recommend this person does when she comes in and there's all this stuff everywhere?
There is always divorce.
That's right. She's like, just walk straight back out of the house and go and visit the lawyer. And then come back with a package.
Say, you know what, I've had enough of this. And ask him to walk out. Like, where will you go? Ask him to walk out.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm just joking.
Someone's going to be like, you know what? I listened to this podcast and I left the house straight away and I gave him the papers. No, we're not responsible for these things.
No. That was a joke. You have to observe your thought patterns, right? Mm-hmm. I call this the ABCD method. ABCD method. It's very easy to remember. ABCD method. You want to get a handle on your thoughts, then you follow the ABCD method. A is you're aware. Aware of your thoughts, so you see your reaction, right? You have to remove this physical thing that has happened that's making you do your reaction. You first just look at yourself. Don't think about this for a minute now, right? Because whatever you say is not making a difference, so don't think about this for a minute. Become aware of what you are thinking, the pattern that is going on, that has happened, that is... getting you into a spiral of anger and frustration and whatever, right? A, that's A, aware. B is deep breaths. You just breathe deeply. Just focus on your breathing just for a few minutes. Focus on your breathing. And C, you have to understand you have a choice. In this matter, you have a choice to think something differently. Their behavior cannot decide your thoughts, right? It's someone else's behavior that's deciding your thoughts. Their behavior can't decide your thoughts. You have a choice, and understand you have a choice. Make informed choices, right? There's a choice here. And D is you have to discern between what is going to give me happiness, what thoughts are going to give me happiness, and what thoughts are going to give me sorrow. Because those thoughts are giving me sorrow, now I have to pick what thoughts are going to give me happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So A, B, C, D. Awareness, breathe, choice, and discern.
That's great. Awareness, breathe, choice, and discern, or decide what thought you're going to have next. So you're starting off noticing what's happening, then you're breathing just to calm yourself down and just not react. And then you realize you have the power to choose. And then you can choose, then you can actually make that choice, whatever it is, discern what's the best thing. So we're having these situations all the time, right? This is going on because we're always thinking. I remember before I started doing meditation many years ago, I actually wasn't really that aware of my thoughts at all. People who don't meditate often don't really know what they're thinking because it's kind of like this background noise that's floating around all the time. It's only when we stop and actually start paying attention to what's happening internally that we start to notice what it is. I remember, like, I was actually quite surprised when I started meditating because I'd sit there, I'd go to a meditation center, sit there in the room, cross my legs, right? And I'm sitting on this chair in silence for like maybe the first time ever. And I'm like, what the hell? What is this stuff? Because I was always distracting myself, listening to music, doing something, right? So when you stop, a lot of people, they don't even want to do meditation because they're afraid what's going to come up in the mind when they stop and finally have a look at it. So one thing we need to do if we want to have a happy mind is to choose happy thoughts. We need a list of happy thoughts because if we're sitting down somewhere and we haven't got anything to do, then it's probably going to be not very happy thoughts.
Right, right.
So like, what are you going
to
do?
Definitely. No, we have to have a go-to set of happy thoughts.
Yeah.
That you keep repeating like a mantra. Yeah,
exactly. We need to, so like, if you want to have a good mind, what is your list of good thoughts? You know, it needs to be our own list of things that we like. So for example, one of my personal favorites is infinite peace, infinite bliss. I actually think that quite a lot at the back of my mind. I breathe in infinite peace, infinite bliss, or infinite peace. I always like the word infinite because it's just very, very large amounts, right? It's just, and there's no edge to it. Or maybe infinite doesn't mean that, Shireen. Shireen's very particular about the word infinite and eternal and the difference. But you get the idea.
There's a difference between infinite and eternal.
There's a difference. No, but I'm saying like this scale is large, right? So it's a vast amount of it, right?
Okay.
And so we have to decide thoughts that when you think them, initially it might not make any difference actually, but after a while they start to build power, build strength, and they start to become experiential. So it goes from just these floating around little words, and then it becomes an embodied feeling where you actually feel different emotionally. That's very, very important. It doesn't necessarily start off as that feeling, but it will start to go through your whole body and your mind and your being so that you actually, instead of just thinking, oh, you're feeling, yes, I feel relaxed, I feel peaceful. Even just thinking the word peace, or I am peaceful, infinite peace, a few thoughts again and again and again, it starts to dominate the consciousness. And because that's the thought we're thinking, during the time we're thinking that thought, we're not thinking other thoughts. So that's why we need to have conscious thoughts that we continuously program ourselves with, because if we don't, then this random stuff's just going to appear out of nowhere. And that's not what we want, is it? No.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want random things. So let's just tune into this. So what do you recommend someone does to come up with a list of their own happy thoughts? How can they come up with that list?
I think there has to be some criteria for the list.
Yeah.
The first part of the criteria would be that they are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts are eternal. It's based on an eternal concept.
So they're not just thinking about their cat.
Yeah, it's not being based on vacation
or.
Yeah, it's not based on anything temporary, because you cannot get imperishable happiness from perishable things. It's not going to work. So it has to be eternal. And second, it cannot be based on your physical senses, because we are so enslaved to our senses, right? It cannot be based on your physical senses. And it has to be like uplifting. Mm-hmm. Something that is really uplifting. So my go-to is I'm a pure soul. And then I am a child of God. And I just go into that feeling of being a pure soul and being connected and being a child and of God, and that God is here with me. And He is here with me. And I feel very happy.
Yeah. So we have whole courses and trainings on the mind and eternal things, which you can study in more detail for free. They're all free. So it's good to think like purity. I'm a pure soul. I'm a divine being. I come from beyond. You know, I've come down here. We have so many drills, we call them, you know, where you kind of go beyond, come back, or you have some practice. So the mind, it's like a program on a computer. You have to install the program. Otherwise, there isn't something to use. So the consciousness is like this thing that has huge potential to be one thing or the other. It, depending on what the program is, that's what you get. It's like there's different games that people can play. There's different movies you can watch. They're all happening on the computer screen. And some of them are very, very toxic, and some of them are fantastic, right? We get to decide which of those things we're going to be getting into, and that's up to us. Just like you could have a list of movies that you want to watch, and you could have a really good list of movies that would be very interesting, or you could have a terrible list of movies. And if you don't have a good list and your only option is these bad movies, then that's what you're going to end up dealing with, you know? And a lot of people don't realize that they can change the movies, they can change the thoughts, you know, that there is actually an alternative experience. So come up with a list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice, and we can exercise the choice.
We have way more choice than perhaps we realize.
You know, I was thinking about this, right? When someone gets arrested, their Miranda rights are read to them, right? So before you put yourself in a prison of any sorrow, you're experiencing sorrow, you're going into the prison because you are going into that prison, read yourself some rights. I have a right to be happy. I can be happy. This is a choice I'm making. I don't need to think this thought. I can think other thoughts. The other person's behavior cannot affect my thoughts. I need to think other thoughts. Let me reprogram and do something else. Right? Those are kind of your Miranda rights for the mind. So do that, because we have a choice.
Yeah, you have a right to remain silent after all, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
We have a right to the power of silence. We have a right to the stillness of the mind. It is so powerful.
Yeah, there's so much potential. We get to decide. This is such an important thing, because every moment of every day there's choices being made, you know, and which way is it going? Is it going towards further pain and sorrow unnecessarily? Or is it going towards happiness and joy and well-being and peace? This is what we're dealing with. So some people might say, well, you know, what am I supposed to do if I have negative thoughts, right? Because, of course, they come up, don't they? They come up. One thing that I personally found very helpful is to recognize that there is actually a secondary benefit or a payoff that I'm getting from negative thinking. because mm-hmm. we wouldn't do it if it didn't give us something, you know, like for example, right, let's say
the support we are taking from it.
So yeah, there's something going on there. Like you could say, why would
masochist?
Yeah, masochists, is a certain benefit to being a masochist. So some people, you know, they like that, or we all have some version of something we do that is bad for us, but somehow we keep doing it anyway. Why does some people eat food that turns out to be unhealthy? Because they like the taste. You know what I mean? I know bread isn't good for me, and I have bread in the fridge. Do you know what I mean? Guilty as charged, right? I try not to have it, but I end up buying it occasionally anyway. So why am I doing that? Because there's a secondary benefit of it, or even a direct benefit, which is that when I make a nice piece of avocado toast, it hits the spot in a certain way. And I'm like, oh, this is great, right? But then again, I have to think, well, this isn't exactly the most healthy food. So in our thoughts, we do something similar, where we might think a certain thought pattern or a certain process, it's causing us pain, but it's happening anyway. So what do we do? We can surrender it to God, surrender it to a higher power, let it go. We have to acknowledge we're getting something out of it, and then say, I'm consciously choosing to release this feeling and thought the moment that it arises. You know, in our teachings, there's an expression, man, man above, be mine with your mind, or surrender your mind, or let it go. Or it's even mentioned to give your burdens to God. So to surrender it up, to let it go, let it go, let it go. So we think thoughts in our mind. Mm-hmm. We're getting some benefit out of it, right? In that moment, the moment it comes up, the moment it arises, we have a choice. Am I going to entertain this thought and keep it going, which tends to get bigger and bigger and bigger and become a feeling? Or am I willing to immediately surrender it to God, divine power, the moment it arises? Right? So you might, it might be an image, it might be a word, might be a sound, might be an attitude, because thoughts aren't just words. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. So it comes in the mind, and immediately let it go. And it might come up again, and then we immediately let it go again. And it comes up again, we let it go again, let it go again, let it go again. I'm surrendering, I'm surrendering, I'm surrendering, I'm surrendering. After a while, that will stop happening, actually, because we're taking power from a higher source beyond our limited capacity, and we are humbly admitting this is something that's a problem, and I'm willing to release it. And we do it again and again and again and again and again and again, the moment it arises, not afterwards, but as it comes up. So it comes up and we say, it's gone, I'm letting it go. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to think, why is it happening? Why is this still happening? How come it's still here? Why is this thought? That's not going to help. Just surrender it, surrender it, surrender it, surrender it, surrender it. And that allows that negative feeling and thought to be purged out of our being. And it might need to be done several thousand times, to be perfectly honest, right? Depending on what situation it is. But it will gradually be cleaned. And then we can choose those better thoughts we talked about to replace it. So it's next,
lovely.
Yeah. So next time you find yourself thinking negative thought, instantly surrender.
Right. You know, I was also thinking about this secondary benefit you were talking about. Mm-hmm. All of us, I feel, are addicted to being, not all of us, many of us, many of us are addicted to being victims.
Right.
We like it.
We're blaming other people in one way or the other.
It gives us power. It absolves us of our responsibility. You know, like, let's take in the case of this husband leaving socks everywhere and you coming home, right? You blaming your husband for the way you think and your anger, right? You're being a victim, actually. And yes, there is a behavior there But also your thoughts are your responsibility.
And you married him as well. So, you know, take some responsibility.
Yeah, divorce is an option, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Not really. No, I'm just kidding. What I'm saying is
you can see the headlines already, Shireen. Spiritual sense recommends divorce for socks being left in the house. I'm just joking.
All right. So what I'm saying is that we shouldn't, in so many subtle ways, we are blaming something else for the way we are feeling. We are not looking at it. My thoughts are making me feel this. It's not their behavior. My thoughts about their behavior mm-hmm. is making me feel this. I don't have control over their behavior, but I can control my thoughts about their behavior.
Right.
I can't really control their behavior. I can't control anyone. I know people who actively design their life where no one can have any expectations out of them. Right. And then you're working with them and you're thinking, wow, how is this going to work? And then you fast learn and realize their behavior cannot decide the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. I mean, I don't need to be a victim here. I don't need to be a victim anywhere. Right? Because we don't need to be victims. Victims, we think, oh, it's like in today's society, right? In today's society, being a victim has become exalted. Like, it's the most exalted, like, pedestal people. Oh, something happened to them, this, that, you know. No personal responsibility. Like, the whole, like, the zeitgeist of society is like, no, let's not take personal responsibility. Something happened here. I can do this for you. This happened there. Let's take personal responsibility, especially for our thoughts. Okay, they didn't behave properly. I don't need to think this way. I don't need to go into a mental prison.
No, this is the background reality all day long, isn't it? How am I responding emotionally and mentally to events in the external world? And am I letting them dictate my feelings, or are my feelings my own choice? You know, right. We talked about this in another session, actually. This is worth just getting clear about, right? How much percentage-wise do you think our feelings in how we feel is based on internal thoughts and patterns, and how much is based on physical things outside of us?
95% and
5%. So 95% is because of the world.
Internal.
No, I'm just joking. Because that's how
95% is internal and 5% is based on the world. Maybe I'm 10%, but between 90 and 95, somewhere in there. Because sometimes, right, like it is cold and, you know, you have thoughts about the weather or something, which is external. And
right.
Or, you know, have all
a
of
headache
that.
Or but something like that, you know.
Yeah, so those are things, but most of the time it's really internal. I want to say something about our addiction to being victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very disempowering being a victim. Blaming someone else for what's happening in your life is very disempowering. It's really not useful. And once we stop this, right, this letting go, I love this exercise, letting go. You watch yourself as a detached observer playing the victim. Just watch yourself how you're blaming someone else. And for a minute, maybe give yourself a chance. Okay, I'll blame that person. But after a minute, take it back and say, no, I don't need to think this. And then you start letting go, right? Mm-hmm. Letting go. I love that. Keep letting go. Then you will realize how much this victimhood has poisoned our lives, has poisoned our mind.
Mm.
We don't even know. We, as a society, we are walking around with victim poisoning. It's just so poisonous.
It really is. It's a chronic background sort of mantra. It's not my fault, not my problem, someone else's problem. As if like someone else did it, we just sort of ended up here and like, oh, this has got nothing to do with me. You know, like what the hell's... I mean, there are occasionally actual real situations where something happened out of nowhere, but we're not going to get into those. But a lot of the time, let's say, for example, let's say I didn't eat well and I didn't eat all day long and now I'm feeling low blood sugar. I can't say, oh, it's because I was so busy. I mean, yeah, fair enough, I was busy, but I can't say I didn't have any time at all to like eat anything the whole day. I mean, that's a little bit ridiculous. And am I taking responsibility to say to people, do you mind if I have 10 minutes to have something to eat? They're going to say, sure. Then no one's going to want you to go the whole day without having any food because of your meetings, you know. So, but we can easily say, it's not my fault, I was too busy. Or it's not my fault, someone else was supposed to do this thing and it didn't work out. We have to take responsibility for everything, basically, in our life. Even if we're working with other people or involved with other people, we're not responsible for what they do because we can't control other people's behavior. But we are responsible to think good thoughts, to look after our health, to have healthy situations with different people, to have a roof over our head, pay our bills, to take care of our bank account, taxes, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a long, long list of things. And when you actually add up how many things we're responsible for, it can actually get a little bit overwhelming when you really look at it. Like, I'm responsible for this, this, this. When you make a list, it's quite a long list. So it's understandable why people will be like, oh, I can't be dealing with all that. Let me just push that off to some other person to deal with.
But you know this thing of pushing off for some other person, right? I want our listeners to try this, right? Try letting go of being a victim. Even subtle things, right? Subtly blaming someone else for your thoughts is also subtle victimhood. And you will realize how powerful you are as a person once you let that go, because it's very disempowering the other way around, right? You want to realize your power, then we need to do that. We are so powerful as human beings. We are so powerful. And this one thing is stopping our power.
Yeah, being a victim. Yeah, it's...
being a victim.
It's a long... has a long tail, being a victim, doesn't it? So it's a long, complicated, multi-layered...
So yes, the support we take, yes, the secondary benefit is victimhood and all of that. But is it really a benefit? No.
No, it's what it comes down to is radical honesty, isn't it? It's like hard thinking. It's easier in life to avoid thinking deeply about things and avoid taking responsibility in the short term. But in the long run, we end up with a very half-hearted, somewhat dead life, actually, because we're not living from a place of mastery and sovereignty, are we? We're sort of on the back foot being pushed around by other things. So we have to ask, do I want sovereignty or do I want to just put up with this stuff, you know?
Yeah, what do I want?
What do I want?
What do I want?
What you gonna do?
What do you want, Brother Michael?
I love feeling great and having a sense of personal agency, you know, being able to decide what I do with my life, how I feel, what I'm doing. So I'm a big fan. I mean, I know I haven't necessarily achieved 100% success in every area of my life yet, but that's what brings me joy and good feelings, is claiming back the power. Claiming back the power. So make a list of your happy thoughts.
List of happy thoughts. Your happy thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else?
ABCD.
ABCD.
Aware, breathe, choose and discern. Aware of your thoughts, breathe deeply. You have a choice and pick the right thoughts.
Right.
Happy thoughts.
Happy thoughts.
And then look at the secondary benefits, and they're not really benefits, especially victimhood. Don't do it.
Right. And surrender.
Sorry for the noise. Yeah.
Surrender. Let it go. Because you have the control. This is taking responsibility. Being a victim is saying, I haven't got any choice. I have to put up with this. Taking control is say, when the thought arises, I'm letting it go. So pick any of these things and it's going to help you claim back your mind, feel better, enjoy your life. And thank you.
Apologies for the noise around here. There's construction going on.
Oh, I can't hear it. But who knows? These things happen, such as it is. So let's have a look at the blessing. What blessing do we have for this?
Okay, do you want a number?
I'll pick one, yeah. 43.
Fearlessness.
Fearless to face yourself.
With unwavering courage, you have no fear, knowing there's nothing you can lose. You release doubts about your worthiness, understanding you are more than enough. You know that God's strength and guidance are always by your side.
Magical blessing.
It is a magical blessing. I love that blessing.
Yay, thank you for that wonderful blessing. So thank you for listening, everyone listening. We're very grateful for you. We have lots of free courses, trainings you can get in the description. And we both wish you every success in claiming back your mind, claiming back your joy, claiming back your freedom. One thought at a time. Much love. Talk to you soon.